Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And another one. We back. I Am Athlete Podcast. You got B. Marshall. That's me talking in third person. Chad Ochocinco Johnson. Still trying to figure out, when do I call him Chad Johnson versus Ochocinco? You have Omar Kelly, the reporter, the investigative reporter.
The beat writer. Mr. Get Messy.
Deep dialer. Yeah, he messier than me.
Scuba. Because he going to dig and get all that. About you.
Now on this episode, I don't know what number we're at, but we got this guy.
Goat.
Goat. Born September 23rd, 1985, age 36. Born and raised in Orlando, Florida. This guy stands at 5 feet, 11 inches. 203 pounds.
Don't like Michael Buffer. Don't like Michael Buffer.
How he do?
You got to get into it.
Yeah, go ahead.
And now. No, I get worse.
2K, Mr. 2K, Chris.
Motherfucking DeJuan Johnson.
Up next. Let's go.
When I was doing the interview, I said I'm rough 2,000 yards. And I bit off something that I couldn't handle.
Right.
I say, if I rush 2,000 yards, I'm buy all my offensive linemen a car.
Did you do it?
I'm still on rookie contract. Come on.
You just said that you rush for 2,000 yards. You said this publicly. I'm going to buy all my offensive linemen cars.
Cars, yeah.
You did not do that.
No, I ain't got no money.
I don't even think they wanted you to do that. What I did was
I kind of played a joke. I ended up getting remote control cars.
We had to fight to get a meal, yeah. Wrongfully accused, we had to fight to get the pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know. Despite your skills, facts. Keep it riding for the fam, you gotta light the wooden wheels straight up. But in the past bad, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
I Am Athlete Parlay. We've been hot. These are guaranteed wins.
I'm going to take Arizona over San Fran.
Whoa.
It's all about matchups, understanding who's playing against who. It's a game of chess.
March Mania is here. We know that. If you're going to participate in sports betting, you need to go to the best platform out there, and that's DraftKings Sportsbook. Here's what's happening right now for all you guys that want to participate. Oh, March Mania. Go out there, download the app. Make sure you have it. It's for new users. And if you bet $5 and your team wins, you get 200 in free bets. Use promo code ATHLETE. Make sure you get in the game, make it rain. It's March Mania. So many things can happen. I don't know about you, but I might show up in Chicago and drop a big bag on a parlay or something. DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app. Use promo code ATHLETE. Get in the game. DraftKings.com is the sportsbook. I Am Athlete is the platform. Parlay, I Am Athlete all day. Promo code ATHLETE, let's get it.
It's getting lazy, my dear. But that ain't nothing to fear. Everything looks so foggy. All of these small things haunting. Swirling around so
let me get my chapstick.
I was gonna tell you chap too. I ain't gonna say nothing because the camera's rolling.
Was it chap?
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
No, thank him.
No, thank you, Chad Johnson. This before you was Ocho Cinco. Thank you, Chris Johnson. I think it was before you were
2K.
The reason why I'm saying thank you to you guys is because 2011, Omar, you was covering the Miami Dolphins. I just finished my first year at the Miami Dolphins, and we're in the offseason. That was the NFL lockout. And I had this small little gym. I had a treadmill, that treadmill right there, and I had one rack that I bought from Dick's Sporting Goods. I had this beautiful backyard that y'all saw, right, basketball court. And one day, I look up, bro, and in my backyard, going through our drills and warming up, there was 2K, Ocho Cinco, there was Darcy Johnson, right? There was myself. You know, Mike Walk came in and out, but like there was this one moment, I think y'all was together, and I'm looking at this, I'm like, yo, I need to start this facility. So I say that because this facility that we're in now was inspired by you guys that day. You know, I'm looking at like, this is Chris Johnson training with me in my backyard. This is Ocho Cinco training with me in my backyard.
I remember that.
You know what I'm saying? And what ended up happening was let's start that facility that we talked about that day after y'all left. Wow. And so the goal then was to open up 50 facilities. At the time, it was called Fit Speed. And now morphed into House of Athlete. And, you know, now we here. So I just want to say thank you guys because, like, this big vision of when I say, like, we the healthiest people on the planet, more people should adopt our lifestyle. You know, this House of Athlete experience and everything I'm doing, it started that day. You know, so appreciate y'all boys.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. I couldn't even believe just from going there to your house and doing that workout. Like, first of all, when I went and we worked out, I'm like, you know, I worked out before then, but I'm like, damn, this is really how you're supposed to work out. Like, we was doing leg day too. I always had legs. And we went to doing leg day, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is crazy. But just from that experience, for you bringing us into your house, being able to do that, and that from that turning into this, it's just amazing. And I salute you for that.
Appreciate it. I'll say this, bro. Like, it's because I really want you to, like, I'm into this. I'm into, like, visualization, dreaming, and dreaming big, and planning, and, like, shooting for the stars. Like, everything I think about is global. And so that one moment, and I'm saying this because I want other people to like embrace really like this dreaming big and visualization stuff and going after what they want. You know, that one moment is going to turn into a $2 billion company.
Mm. Wow.
Within the next 5 years. Because it's a $4.3 trillion industry. Mm. We're the healthiest people on the planet.
Right.
Train like us, eat like us, sleep like us. No. You gonna eat like me?
Nah, I ain't eating like you. It's just about knowing self-awareness.
Right.
Know your body. Know what you can and can't do. But eat like us.
Right.
Mm. Balance.
Yeah.
So like I wasn't, this is about you. This show is about you. But like, bro, like y'all did so much for me, bro. Like y'all don't understand. Like, you know, you talk about inspiration and like seeing something, going with your gut. Like that was that moment, oh, for me. I was like, that's what this is.
And both of these guys, they were trendsetters because they went and they did it their own way. Mm. I mean, both of you, you know what you guys had in common? You had the grill. Mm. You represented Florida. And didn't take it out till probably your playing career was over.
Yeah.
Why'd you eventually get rid of it?
I think my whole thing, I did it when I was younger. You know what I'm saying? And like, mine was, we call them slugs. Like, you can't pull them in and pull them out. And I always knew, like, once I retired, I was gonna take them out or whatever. But like, the reason, like, I remember when I was doing my pro day, and it was a scout from Cincinnati. He was telling me, he like, man, you're not gonna make it in this league long if you don't change your image. You need to cut your hair, you need to take your goals out your mouth, you need to do this, you need to do that. And I always kept it in the back of my head. I'm like, man, I'm gonna do it my way. But I know if I wanna have this image, I got to work so hard on the other end to be a top-tier player. Because if you're not a top-tier player, you can't do it your way. You know what I'm saying? So I always did it my way. I kept my goals in. I did all that. And I just knew always when I retired, I was gonna take them out.
Was it just maturation or just... It's just you had made your point.
At the end of the day, it's a maturity thing. Know
but
what
is
I'm
it making your point or a maturity thing, or is this your culture? Like, that's the real question.
Yeah, that's
like,
your culture.
You're not even, or were you thinking about making a point? Were you thinking about this is what's normal to me?
Yeah, this was me. I felt like I didn't want to change. Like, I didn't, when he was telling me that, I was like, this is not going to make me any better. If I take my gold teeth out, if I cut my hair, is that going to make me any better?
Yeah.
I'm like, nah. You got to think, where I'm from, kids are getting gold teeth, like, 11, 12 years old. So it's like he said, it's a cultural thing.
It's funny you say that, because I'm Jamaican, and I grew up Carroll City representing today for my Chiefs. Yeah. I know both of y'all. You know, we beat you your freshman year quarterback, but at that time, I was like, God damn, you's a bad boy.
He played quarterback?
He played quarterback.
Oh, wow.
He was quarterback. He was unstoppable, too, as a freshman. But anyway, that's a totally different story. Throughout my career, I've always had dreads, and I was told that you're never gonna do TV until you cut the dreads. Mm. And at that point, I had to make a shift. I had to say, okay, what do I really wanna do? But where I'm from, it's important for me to represent where I'm from and to show kids that, hey, you could make it from where I'm from, and you could do whatever your dream is, and you could look like me. And if I changed the way I look, would I still be able to say that to them? You can look like me, but I have to clean up my image to, you know, make you, to make it to TV, which is quote unquote the big time.
So the reality is, for real, all three of you guys were really the trendsetters. Because when you think about media, you think about being on a beat reporting, covering the teams, how many times do we walk into the locker room and see black men or women with dreads or, you know, really lean into our culture? You know, bro, you was like that, you know, just unapologetic and confident and comfortable in who you are.
Yeah.
Like, I tried to fit the mold and try to get into the box. When I broke through, like, I was the first active athlete to do full-time broadcasting. And I had a little Even Steven, what we used to call, right? Yeah. Even Steven. I had my suit and tie. When I got traded to the Jets, I still did Inside the NFL on Showtime. That second year with the Jets is when I started to grow out my hair because I wasn't on Showtime as much. And I said, when I'm done, I'm going to cut my dreads. Never forget this moment. When it was getting to the end of my career, FS1 calls me, or they talked to my agent. They said, is he going to cut his hair? And that was the plan all along. And when they said that, I said, wow, F no, like, no, I ain't doing that. Just because they said it.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward a couple years later, last year, I ended up getting that gig with FS1.
My grandma would never allow me to get permanent goals, but I always wanted them. So I saved up enough money to get them. I think I got them my sophomore in high school, and I wore those pullouts when it was time to play football. When it was time, when I hit the field, I always had those goals in. So once the transition happened to the NFL, that didn't happen. It's like I had to have those. It was just a part of that persona that I put on. And just obviously, I wanted to show where I'm from. I'm from Liberty City, and everybody else played with a mouthful of goals. Many weren't able to make it to this level, but I wanted to remain my true, authentic, and organic self, you know, playing at a high level. And I definitely wasn't conforming, no matter who the fuck said anything. And that was it. They don't like that though. Especially back then, they don't like that. Mouthful of goals, you know, I didn't have any hair at the time, but.
Can't grow hair.
Yeah, I had a mohawk, remember?
Oh yeah.
That was like patchwork, like that was, you know.
It's crazy how they are worried about their image before investing millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars into you. You have to look a certain way, you have to act a certain way, you gotta play their game. And when you don't want to play their game, you have to be that much better at what you do.
Which is why, like, you guys broke through.
Allen Iverson broke through.
First man to get his hair braided in the middle of a game by his mama on the bench. That was iconic.
Right.
That was dope. Crazy.
I remember when he changed the game, because guys didn't have tattoos and cornrows at the NBA when Allen Iverson got there.
No.
And now look at all sports.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We did a show with the young kids, young track future phenoms.
Everybody got dreads.
Everybody got dreads.
Yeah. Blonde. Yeah. Dyed, all of that.
And it's expression. I think it comes
but
from.
I don't think y'all really understand how powerful that is. Like, you know, I'm confident. Like, I know who I am.
Right.
But also, like, you know, aware of, like, you know, it's a $16 billion industry now in the NFL. So, you know, back in the day, it was $10 billion industry. We're going through the lockout, all of that. Athletes getting paid a lot of money, millions of dollars. And so, like, they tell us, fit it in the box. This is what you're supposed to say. This is what you're supposed to, this is how you're supposed to dress. That, so 98%, 99% of us, we not truly us, right? And it wasn't until I left, you know, my situation, 3 months, McLean Hospital, you know this story, where playing for the Miami Dolphins, about to go on Monday Night Football, playing against the Patriots. And I knew, like, everything I said, everything I did, you know, people are going to be watching and judging. And so I knew I had to be on point with everything, even how I dressed. And I was in my closet getting ready for this game, and it took me an hour to get dressed, bro. I probably changed my slacks, my drivers, my loafers, my button up 10 times. And I started crying. And my wife came in, she said, baby, be yourself. And that forever changed my perspective and how I approached it, because I knew people were watching. Man, and I said this story before, and I say it always like this, bro. Like, I jumped in my 72 Cutlass. I threw on a white tee. I threw on a Marlins fitted. I pull up to the stadium, because I just bought 2 Mercedes-Benz. The SLS with the gold wings.
Yeah, yeah.
That was 200,000.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was bad.
The G-Wagon was bad. You act like the G-Wagon was bad.
The G-Wagon, you right. I was like one of the first.
The Benz, the Doze.
He was one of the
like
first
this.
With the G-Wagon.
I remember that one.
No, he was the first with both of them.
But that was my professional car.
Yeah.
Mercedes, classy, but it was still like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, what the hell with that? Pulled up in my 72 Cutlass, 415s in the back, listening to Rick Ross. Pulled up, whoa. It went out there, 119 yards, 2 touchdowns, Monday Night Football. But that changed the rest of my life. That's hard for a lot of people. But,
hold on, you never resisted the urge to change? You never resisted the urge to compromise a little bit just to get, because you were a big time player.
Yeah.
To get those major marketing deals?
I got them. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing that I left out. Like, he was saying that I needed a change, but when you doing what you got to do and you got a Nike deal, you got a Powerade deal, you got Nike commercials, you got all type of commercials over ESPN and all type of stuff, what I'm changing for? You know what I'm saying? Like, and then it got to the point, it was like, this is my image. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I even seen it, like, it was kind of funny to me because, like, even, like, once I took my gold teeth out, like, people see me and they might know it's me. They sit there and wait until I talk to see, like, do we got gold teeth? Like, usually when they see I got gold teeth, oh, that's him. You know what I'm saying? So then when I didn't have gold teeth, they like, is that him or, you know what I'm saying? So that was my image. So I knew I would never change that. As long as I played football, I never changed that. And it was crazy. Like, as soon as I retired, probably like a year later, I took him out.
When you're handing your business on the field, don't matter.
It don't matter. Yeah, you got to be legendary. I was afraid for you, bro. When he first got in the league, we go to award shows, all of that stuff. He was going to award shows when everybody was suited and booted. Dreads, gold teeth, tie, white shirt, not tucked in, blazer, jeans, sneakers. And I'm like, bro, this ain't going to work, bro.
Jewelry. Yeah.
And he made it work. He made it work.
I always wanted to be like a rapper, man. Like, for real. I always wanted to be like a rapper, but I knew I'd never be a rapper because I'm too shy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know I'd never be a rapper, but that's just the image that I always upheld. You know what I'm saying? So it was like I wasn't gonna let nobody change me, you know what I'm saying? So that's just what it was.
Greatest rapper of all time. We had Lil Wayne on the show a couple of weeks ago. Greatest rapper of all time?
Yeah. Man, I'm a Wayniac, man. For real. Like, I used to have hard down arguments about the fight ever since high school. I remember in high school, we used to have debates if Wayne was better than 50 Cent. And then I went to East Carolina, and I was like, I used to argue back then, was Wayne better than Jay-Z? So then, you know, I always was a fan, and I finally met him when I went to the league. And after that, so by the time we was in Tampa and we were hanging out with them, I probably had hung out with him a couple times already.
No, you was hanging out with him. I was hanging out with you, and I got the I got the opportunity to tag along. Give me your top three rappers.
My top three of all time.
And then you can throw in the new rappers too, the youngins.
I'm gonna go Lil Wayne. Then number two, I'm gonna go Young Thug, and then Lil Baby.
You country. You all.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Well, who are your top three?
Jay-Z. I'm gonna put Tupac. I like Lil Wayne.
That's three.
And Nas. No, Lil Wayne and Biggie, excuse me.
Yeah, if I go all the time dead, you know I put Pac and Biggie in there.
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All time, dead or alive.
Yeah.
Like, that's the debate. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Lil Wayne, is he the greatest? Is it Jay-Z? Or is it Tupac?
So if those guys, all those guys that you named, if they was to go bar for bar, do you think Jay-Z would out-rap Tunchi?
Absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely.
How?
That's hard to say.
That's hard. Because we're talking about mixtape, we
both are
everything.
Really lyrical. Very, very lyrical. Both can rap and rhyme off the top of the head without writing down.
Right, right. So who's your top five or top three?
My top three? I'm going Ross first. Obviously, being from here, being from Miami, seeing his growth from way back from Carroll City to where he is now, what he's been able to accomplish, and knowing how the evolution and the sound of music changes and him still being able to be relevant through each era.
Right.
You know, so that's number one. Obviously, Wayne is two, and my third would probably be Jay.
That's why you got to respect Jay, because he's still popular, existing, powerful.
And the funny thing about it, some just came out with Forbes not long ago, Jay made 100, maybe 200 million, and ain't wrote a goddamn song last year.
Oh, wow.
That's from the business aspect of what Jay has been able to accomplish.
Right. Ooh, we doing dessert.
How we doing? How we doing?
Yeah, man.
What going on, brethren? You all right?
Me don't know, man.
You gotta say the meal if you look a bit more of your chest.
Yeah, star.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, dig.
Everything Chris, man.
Everything Chris.
What you got?
So how we got? So today we got an ice cream sandwich with snickerdoodle cookies, caramel ice cream, strawberries, and praline and almonds.
Go ahead, one more time, because go ahead.
So we got the caramel ice cream with the snickerdoodle cookies, the strawberries, praline ice cream, and drizzle of caramel on top.
Snickerdoodle.
Say it, bro. What'd he say?
Snickerdoodle.
Snickerdoodle.
You gotta say your
like,
say it one more time. Loud.
Snickerdoodle.
I ain't trying to make fun, bro, but
I appreciate
Chris,
it, bro.
Chef Low, bro, like, what's interesting about Chef Low, like, from the islands, but also, you know, lived in London, studied in London, you know, whatever. So, like, he got this. Then he also been in South Florida for a long time. So, like, one minute he sound like he from Miami. Then one minute he sound like he from Jamaica.
Yeah.
And then one minute he sound like he from London. That's why every time you come out, I be like, yo, what is going on?
You know, it's just like how people different languages, I talk different dialects. Hey, I can ask a question for you real quick.
Yeah.
Bro, what you was eating back in the day be running that damn fast?
Whatever I want, anything.
Damn. So like this thing, this Ocho versus Science thing, like this Ocho may be a legit thing. Cause
hell no, but go ahead, I'm listening.
Like, I'm just saying, he ran a 4.42, ate whatever he won. Ocho was getting 6 to 8 seconds of separation.
You heard what
you
said, right? He was eating whatever he want.
How many seconds you say?
6 to 8 seconds of separation.
Bro, play is 3 seconds.
That's what he told me.
No.
But hey, I think 100 though, if Ocho would have been on that LeBron diet, he'd have still been playing.
That's what I've been saying.
You would have still been playing.
Thank you.
It's like putting premium Thank gas you. In a Lamborghini.
Don't even put your leg on the table. Don't yell at me. Don't scream at me. This is what I've been trying to say for 2 years.
Oh, are they forgetting why I exited the game?
Oh, my goodness.
The way and the reason why I left the game had nothing to do with what I ate.
Man, look.
Let's stop. Let's stop.
Look.
Had nothing to do with the ability either.
Exactly.
Stop.
No injuries, never been hurt, never slowed down, but I f***ed up.
Before you go, top three rappers of all time, or you can put in like reggae, whatever, because you know you got all these dialects and stuff.
I got three different people. Number one's gonna be for me. I like alternative hip hop, so I like Lecrae. Lecrae is one of them.
Oh, he's That's gonna love one. That. I just saw
Yeah, like
Lecrae.
I love Lecrae. Nas and Vybz Kartel.
Okay.
That's my top three for me.
Lecrae number one. Wow. Bro, he gonna. Bro coming on the show.
For real?
Yes, yes.
So that's when I'm gonna see y'all again, right?
If you on big time, us and you
nah,
come
Nah, cook. Nah, I'm here, bro.
Dope.
Appreciate you, man. Thank
Love
you.
Love you, bro.
Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate Chris, you. Since we talking about top five, I gotta know your top five backs.
If I go all time, my first is Barry. Barry is number one. I go Emmett, number two. Dickerson. Three, four, Walter. I say Marshall Faulk.
Ooh, that's a good five, too.
If I was to go right now, I gotta go Derek, Henry number one, Dalvin two, Kamara three. I like Shaquan, even though he's been hurt so much, but I've been watching him since he was in college. And I know his potential. And my final guy, I'm going Chubb.
Ooh, that's nice. That's nice.
He's nice.
I like McCaffrey outside of the injuries and him being the entire workload for the offense, which I think is one of the reasons why he keeps getting injured and also eating that healthy shit. But he's nice.
Hold on, we're not done with this. Hold on, no, there's a lot here. I want to make sure we get this right.
You're getting messy.
Yeah, I'm getting messy. You know I'm getting messy. You're missing JT and you're missing, from what I see,
Joe Mixon.
I just want to make sure we take the time to get it right because JT is...
But the backs that he named have more than 3 years of consistency under their belt.
All right, okay, cool. I just want to make sure you get the opportunity because, like, your name ring bells. Like, hey, did you ever win the Super Bowl?
No, I haven't.
But your name still rings.
Oh, yeah. I should have called them.
Right, like, we got to get this right. One. Like, that means a lot. If Ocho stand up here and say, here's my top five receivers, that go a long way. Same thing with you.
Yeah. But I don't feel like you really take nobody out and add them in.
But that's not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair, though.
Because you asked his preference on who he felt the top five was.
Where's Shady McCoy? Shady was on the show.
Shady's talking about you gave that
he
work.
He said he better hit. Oh, yeah. Crazy.
But what I'm saying is, so if you say Shady, who you going to take? Are we talking all time?
That's what we talking said, here. That's what Shady said. Look at the film. I gave him crazy work. You want me to do it?
Y'all played around the same era.
Yeah.
Shady? Or you?
Come on, man. Stop playing.
I'm asking you a question. I mean, Shady said he gave people crazy work.
For him, too? I went for 2K.
Ooh. What does that mean?
It's only eight that ever did it. It's only one guy that ever went for 2,500.
Man, 25?
Yeah.
In a season?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Me. Come on, man. It's only one.
The funny thing about it is he was doing it when the mother was stacking 8 and 9 in the fucking box.
They know what's happening.
And they know it's coming.
They ain't had no Julio Jones and AB on the outside.
I'm not finna disrespect the offense.
You don't want to talk about nobody?
I ain't talking about nobody.
Okay, cool.
But they were stacking 8 and 9 in the box, and he was still getting off week after week.
Correct. Take us through that year. What does that mean when you're talking about 2000 and that experience? Because I know those moments as a receiver where you're in your bag and you're like, yo, I just went three games in a row, just 100 yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hard. People don't understand how hard that is. Take us there.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think I have the record for the most 135 yards game in a row. Know what I'm saying? So it's like when you think about the team that I was on, at this time, Vince Young wasn't even starting. We had Kerry Collins at the end of his career.
Kerry.
You know what I'm saying? You probably can't even name a receiver that was on the team. You know what I'm saying? So every single week, it's 8-9 in the box the whole time. Even I had 2,000 yards that year. I still had 50 catches, 500 receiving yards.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I had half a stack receiving yards. We ain't even talking about the rushing. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it take a toll on your body, but that's where you know what I'm saying? You got to be in the weight room. You got to know how to take care of your body. It ain't really no days off.
Was it hard? Like, you know, that's what I'm saying, bro. That's what I'm trying to get to. It's hard to explain this. If you ain't go for 2,000 yards, just 1,000 yards is a big deal.
That's the difference with the era of the backs these days and the era of the backs, I would say, before me and coming in to my years, you got guys 1,500, 1,700 every year.
Right.
We talking about LT. We talking about Clint Portis. We talking about Jamal Lewis. We talking about those guys every year.
Right.
That's what.
You think it's different now and harder for the backs to get that kind of yardage because it's a pass happy league now, and we throw the ball.
No, you got Derrick Henry.
Huh?
You got Derrick Henry. If you're a dog, you a dog. That's what I'm saying. You got guys these days. They rush for 1,000 yards and couple hundred receiving yards, and they one of the best backs in the league. They finna get paid. You know what I'm saying? I went for 1,300 and 400 receiving. They say I lost
Steven
a step.
Steven Jackson, your
yeah,
era?
Steven Jackson.
They say you lost a step
yeah,
with 1,300?
I went for 1,300 rushing and 400 receiving yards, and they say I lost a step, all because I went for 2,000.
That was
know
a
what
bar.
I'm but now, these days, you get 1,000 yards and a couple hundred receiving yards, and you finna get 40 million.
You know how many times he went for 1,200 yards, 1,300 yards on one leg? You know what I'm saying? My toes hurt. My feet hurt. Odell on the sideline. Everybody want to make fun of Odell Beckham. Like, or get on him. Why he taking his feet, his shoes off on the sideline? He's a clown. His feet hurt. He just ran 15 comebacks at 21 miles per hour. Stopping on the dime.
Yeah.
His toes hurt. So that's what I'm trying to get into, bro. We're talking, you know, I love greatness. I love that stuff. Like, so when you talk about 2,000 yards, like, bro, was your body banged up?
It definitely was banged up.
Did you get to a zone? You know, it's like how Kobe Bryant go for 80-something points?
Yeah.
Did you feel like you was in a zone? Like,
I definitely was in a zone. I was in a zone. Like, I just felt like couldn't nobody stop me. Every game, I was busting at least a 50, 60, 70 yarder every game. Like, every single game, I was in a zone. I was feeling like I couldn't be stopped. Like, no matter, it just kept happening. You know what I'm saying? I was in the zone, but at the same time, yeah, you feel it. You know what I'm saying? But that's why you got to have the right team around you. Got to have the right coaching staff around you. Sometimes Jeff Fisher coming in and be like, hey, he'll come in on Wednesday. Like, take the week off. Just be ready on Sunday. You know, most players, you know, back then, but not real talk, I'm in year two. So most players, you know, coach coming up, take the week off, be ready on Sunday. You going out every night.
Yeah.
Drinking, clubbing, whatever. I'm just got to be ready. Nah, I know them days, like, I got to be in the training room extra, hot tub, all that different type of stuff, getting my body worked on.
How was you eating?
Whatever I wanted. Honestly.
Go ahead, keep going.
Honestly, I was eating whatever I wanted. But
okay.
Yeah, it was just like, you got to know. You got to mature quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, I ain't going to lie. Normally, you know, rookie year, you so young, you get time off. We hanging. We trying to go to Vegas. We here. But in this season, like, even before the season started, I said I was going to run for 2,000 yards. You know what I'm saying? I was just talking. I ain't going to lie. I was just talking. Then we get, like, the week 10.
No. There's power.
In words.
No, it is. It's power in words. I know that's what I wanted to do. Know what I'm saying? But I'm like, man, I was doing the interview. I said, I'm going to rush 2,000 yards. And I bit off something that I couldn't handle.
Right.
I said, if I rush 2,000 yards, I'm going to buy all my offensive linemen in the car.
Did you do it?
I'm still on rookie contract. Come on. You know, back then, we was – You know, back then, it's old CBA.
What that mean?
It means a lot. I'm a rookie.
You just said that you rushed for 2,000 yards. You said this publicly. I'm going to buy all my offensive linemen cars.
Cars, yeah.
You did not do that.
No, I ain't got no money,
man. I don't even think they wanted you to do that.
No,
What I did was, I kind of played a joke. I ended up getting remote control cars. Ah! But on top of the remote control cars, I got everybody diamond watches, got their name engraved in it, and 2,000 yards, all that. So I got them diamond watches.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2-gram net zero hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a bread head. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
So you saved the day.
I saved the day.
So like you was one of the first that was wearing designer doing all that. Guys wasn't doing that back then. We was wearing suits and white.
And he was doing it when it wasn't like fashion. Now it's a fashion show.
That's bro, fashion.
He ran 424. In the next week, he had a whole diamond chain, big pennant, 424.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what we doing now, we talking from a culture standpoint, you had AI. The Mike Vicks of the world and all that. But when we talk about the drip, bro, he was putting it on back then.
Still putting it on. Ain't no back then. He ain't missed a motherfucking beat.
You old, bro. You got to stop this, though.
Why? For what?
Yeah, because I be watching you.
You sound like the Bengals scout, man. You
know what I'm saying? Like, bro, you 36.
Okay. 36. That's right? A 36. That's a grown man. Look, man.
Yeah, but like, man, you still got this. It's the same. He ain't never changed. You still got burgundy cars.
No, I don't.
What color is your car?
Listen,
now?
Back then I used to have 10, 12 cars. I only got 2 cars now.
Oh. What's your cars now?
I got a Rolls Royce truck and I got an Aston Martin DB11.
Ooh. You ain't got no smart car?
Nah.
You seen gas prices?
They going up. They going up. I got smarter. I used to be like, I'm gonna buy this car, this car. I'm gonna have 10, 12 cars and then like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I'm finna get smart. I'm finna trade these 3 cars in and get this one car and trade these 3 cars in, get this one car. I'm gonna have me 2 cars and I'm just good.
Can I ask you a question? Get personal. Okay? You don't want to answer, you don't have to answer because I love you, my brother. You good? Your money good?
Great.
Yeah? Great. Talk to me about that. Educate these young boys. Like, cause you said, like, okay, you buying 12 cars, now you went to 3. Like, when was that transition for you? Because you was going through money. We all was going through money. Like, yeah. My money was going into homes. Like, I had a $4.1 million home here in Miami. You know, I just sold 2 years ago. In Chicago, you know, I had a $3.8 million home or $3.5 million home. So, like, my money went into homes and travel. It was different. It showed up different, but I was spending money. You know what I'm saying? What was the change for you?
The difference between me and you is, you just probably spent $8 million in just homes, right? My whole career, I used to rent. And you know, back then, rent, $1,500, $1,600. I was renting where I was staying. Like, I always knew I was going to buy a house in Tennessee, and I knew that I wasn't going to buy another house as far as I was going to wait and buy me a retirement house. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't spending money on all these big mansions and all that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
But those things don't lose value. Mm-hmm. The homes don't lose value.
No, they don't lose value at all. And that's one thing that I regret. Like, the condos and stuff that I used to rent, if I can do my career over again, like, I probably would have bought those.
My biggest regret is that I never bought a Lambo or Ferrari. I used to love the 458, I believe it was. 458 Ferrari. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I never really enjoyed my mentality was that, like, you know, I'm not going to lose no money on my crib.
Yeah.
It might take me forever to sell it. I'm not going to lose money on my crib. You know what I'm saying? That's why I never splurged on clothes, jewelry, and all that other stuff. And I don't feel like I enjoyed my career enough.
Or the fruits of your labor, you mean?
Because you didn't buy a Ferrari?
I could have been a little bit more aggressive. I was a little too conservative, right? Like, and it brought a lot of angst. Like, I could have bought a Ferrari. I could have bought a Lambo for a year and had fun a little bit.
I go back to, I think I heard this in y'all episode with Tunchi or whatever, when you say you kind of upset that you didn't buy, you know, Ferrari. And like, when he said, I felt that when he said, you got to enjoy it while you in it because it go like this. Mm. Like, I played 10 years in the league, and when I look back, it seemed like I was on the league probably 2-3 years because it go by so fast. Like, and just how you come up, like, never not having nothing and, you know, wanting this and wanting that. So I always said I'm going to enjoy it while I'm in it.
Let me ask you, what was that transition like when you go from being a featured back with the Titans to all of a sudden you just a guy with the Jets?
Well, like, with the Jets, It's tough, you know what I'm saying? Because when you know you can still play at a high level, when you can play at a high level, it's tough to go in there and just, like, I'm on the bench, you know what I'm saying? I'm watching these guys play. I'm putting in all this work. I'm putting in all this effort. And it's like, I'm here on Sundays. I'm just watching. It ain't like receiver, cornerback, nothing where it's 3-4 guys play at running back. It's one guy play majority of the time, especially in my era. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you playing with Bruce Arians, he want his back to be able to be in the game all three downs. He don't want to come in and out because he want to create no mismatches. You know what I'm saying? So just going, being in his offense, like, it was just different.
Do you feel full
from the game? Yeah, I feel full. I don't think I...
You know what I mean by that?
Like, as far as the game?
Mm-hmm.
I feel full because I feel like towards the end, my last year, I feel like I lost love for the game. Ultimately, that's what made me retire. You know what I'm saying? Because I knew myself, I wasn't willing to put in the work that I knew needed to be put in to sit on the sideline.
Right.
Even though I knew myself, like, I was the best back on the roster, like, even if I wasn't the starter, ain't no way that I was the guy cut out of that room when it was 2-3 other guys that I knew for sure that I was better than. Like, I know if I were number one, I know for sure I was number two or number three.
What made you lose the love for the game?
Just that in general.
The politics.
Yeah, the politics. Like, I know if I'm not number one, I know I'm number two for a fact. But you cut number two, but you don't cut number three or number four.
Yeah, because they look at it as if I can pay 2-3 guys that $1 million, you know this, they gonna do special teams, they gonna do all that and get that same production that you're giving me. So that's the politics.
But are you trying to bargain? Or are you trying to win?
They don't try to. Well, I hate this perception that NFL teams try to win or want to win. But NFL's a business.
So when you ask, why do you lose love for the game? Because what are you doing? You trying to bargain or are you trying to win?
When did you learn the NFL was a business? Stop.
Because this is important. Because I spent a lot of time with a lot of athletes walking in here today in this facility having this conversation. We want to win.
Yeah.
And we take it personal. It's a business. It's a business for them. They're playing a numbers game. It's the bottom line. So when I'm talking to a guy about, like, what am I doing next in my career, and then they start talking about, well, you know, I believe in this guy can potentially get it, or, you know, I want to stay one place in one organization, we're so emotional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no emotion in money.
Yeah.
We athletes, football players in particular, need to take the emotion out of money. So I'm just using this opportunity right now to speak to the athlete.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? About, like, yo, stop taking this stuff personal and understand the numbers and the analytics, not just what the salary cap is, but also looking at, like, okay, I fit in this situation because 75% of the time they throw to the slot precision. The slot, I'm a slot receiver. Like, we got to start thinking like CEOs and COOs and operators and business.
Mm-hmm. What did it feel like when the Titans cut you? Is that when you learned it was a business?
No, I learned before then it was a business. I learned when I rushed 2,000 yards and I still had to hold out for a contract. That's when I knew it was a business. You know what I'm saying? But then on top of that, like, when I got cut by the Titans, like, I thought I was going to be a Titan my whole career. But when I got cut by the Titans, and that's something else that I ain't going to say I regret it, but if I can go back, and now that I got kids, you know, I know how to teach them, but I still remember to this day, my last year as a Titan, week two, I tore my meniscus, right? So I used to, it's the game ready machine. I used to have to sleep with a game-ready machine on every single night. Ain't miss no practice, no nothing. Ain't miss no games, no nothing. And they knew since week two my meniscus was torn or whatever. So towards the end of the year, you know, the media come to me. They saying, oh, yeah, we've been hearing about a pay cut, this and that, whatever. I'm like, well, I need to take a pay cut. You know what I'm saying? So they end up releasing me saying they think I lost a step. But y'all know I done tore my meniscus week two. Never say nothing about that, no nothing. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like I laid it all out on the line. Ain't missed no practice, ain't missed no games. Knowing I got a torn meniscus.
Why did you hide that?
Time out. When we go viral on this show, it's because of Ocho. I know my place on this show. You viral. But every once in a while, old B baby go viral. Can I go viral real quick? Athletes, this man wore game ready to sleep every night. Never went missed it. I might cry.
Don't cry.
Because it's emotional, bro. I feel it, Desiree. I feel this.
You see it all the time.
This man wore game ready every night. We're talking about 40 degrees ice. Trying to sleep, feeling that type of frostbite. For a whole year, for his meniscus.
So he wouldn't miss any game.
No, He ain't say just games, Ocho. Listen to the man. Practice and games.
That's crazy.
And they ask him to take a pay cut.
And they do it all the time.
Where we go wrong, what you said is, this is the problem. You said, I thought I was going to be a Titan my whole career.
No, what he went wrong is he didn't say nothing about
it.
No, they knew it. I took an MRI.
No. The team knew it. Did the media know it?
No, they didn't know it.
See, that's where he went wrong. But my thing is, and this is where I struggle all the time with athletes, and they conceal these injuries and what they play through.
I'm tough,
and I don't want my opponent to know my issue, what's going on.
Preach right now.
The admiration that people would have if they knew you played the entire year with a torn meniscus, even if you said that week 15, week 16, then we would come to you when the team drops in our ear, he might need to take a pay cut because he done lost a step. We could say, but wait a minute, ain't he playing with a torn meniscus all season?
Right.
And that's where the disconnect I have comes in with athletes and the teams and the media, because y'all conceal all that stuff. The team uses it against you, and then the media, we an accomplice, because, you know, hey, his production ain't what it used to be. Yeah. Team say he lost a step. You should take a pay cut. Then when you say, I played with a torn meniscus my whole career, my whole season, and after the fact, then we'd be like,
ain't no protection. We can't protect
you.
No
protection.
But when you the face of the franchise, and I got my brothers, we grinding every day. Know what I'm saying? They looking up to me. They know what I'm saying? So it ain't about the opponent or about them in the office, this and that. I'm being there for my brothers. We grinding. We working. Know what I'm saying? I want to win. That's just how bad. That's how my mindset was. If I can go out there and play, I'm going.
But that's what makes us great. And that's what gets us there. But to really optimize our opportunity and stay there even longer, like, we got to be more strategic. And that's all I'm saying, man. Like,
you like to pull out the phone? Go look up the stats that year.
What's year?
Year 6. My last year in Tennessee.
Okay.
And look at what I did on the torn meniscus, rushing and receiving.
He went 279 rushing attempts, 1,777 yards, 6 touchdowns. Receiving?
4 touchdown receiving. I had 10 touchdowns.
Oh, you had 10. So total, 10 touchdowns. Total, 1,500 yards pretty much down there, you know, all
people
around.
People getting paid $40 million for that these days.
Why is that significant?
Because I did that on the torn meniscus, and they said I lost a step and released me.
That's why I never played their game. That's why I never cared. That's why I didn't follow the rules. That's why I played the game like I was a little kid. That's why I don't care about the Hall of Fame. Like that. Small like that.
Yeah.
You know, they move the goalpost depending on who it is.
Right.
They enjoy having that power over you. They enjoy when you're not even playing the game no more, and they still have some type of control over your emotions.
Right.
God never give you motherfuckers the satisfaction. Never.
Is the Hall of Fame important to you?
I want to make it. But at the end of the day, when you look at it, what's the criteria of the Hall of Fame?
It changes.
Like, but I'm just saying, we want to be into something that we don't even know the criteria. Mm. It's like, if you want to graduate high school, you know what you got to do to graduate. You don't know what you got to do to. But if you ask me, do I feel like I deserve it? Yeah. Like, all the backs these days, I feel like I changed the game. These backs these days, that's not 230 pounds, 220 pounds. They starting backs because of me. I changed that. So when y'all say the Christian McCaffreys, the Alvin Kamaras, all those guys, like, they was given the opportunity to come in the league, being first round picks and being starting running backs because of what I came in the league and did.
So a lot of guys walk away from the league, you know, bitter. They walk away from the game bitter. So I'm using that to parlay into this, like, mental health, like all of that, you know what I mean? These stories, as you take a pay cut, playing on one leg. You know, in our community, we don't talk about mental health. Like, how is your mental health? Earlier you said your transition from Tennessee or the Jets to Arizona.
Yeah.
You said, like, I went through something. Mm-hmm. You want to tap in?
Yeah, we can tap in.
Yes. So well, because when you said that, you know, that's my job, to sit back and listen for these things, right?
I know you messy. You like, you the messy one. That's how you know I watched the show.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah. See, I went to the Jets and I went through that situation, and I was like, man, I got to change something that I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm like, man, I need to work even harder this offseason. So I ended up going to LA. I was out there so I was finna spend like maybe 2 months out there working out. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to block out all the distractions, everything. So one of my best friends, my brother, he he was finna go away, do some time or whatever. So he rapped and stuff. So he was doing a concert. So instead of me staying up there just working out, I'm like, I know I ain't finna see him for a couple years. So I'm finna come back down, go to the, I'm finna go to the concert. The next morning, I'm on a flight right back to LA. So we go to the concert, we leave there, then finna go get something to eat. We at the red light, you know what I'm saying? It just happened so quick. You just hear windows shattering, ooh, next thing you know what I'm saying? I'm in the car, one of my other friends in the back seat, my other friend driving or whatever. Not even my friend that I went to go see the concert with. So I'm sitting there, so next thing you know, I look to the left, I see one of my friends, he leaning on the horn, you know what I'm saying? He gone. I'm shaking, like, wake up, wake up. And he out of there. I call my homeboy in the back seat. He talking to me, whatever, bum, bum, or whatever. So, whatever, we go to the hospital, this and that, whatever. So, I break collarbone, shoulder bone. So, from when I got shot, so at this time, now I'm on bed rest. So, probably like 3 weeks after I get shot, my nerves start messing with me. Now my hand, it go out like pain, so painful, I can't use it. Can't, if I touch something, it's like it's burning, sensational. So now I can't use my hand, my right hand, this is my dominant hand. I can't use my hand, so it's like, damn, my career over with. I can't use this hand, my career over with. Know what I'm saying? So I'm like on bed rest for 6 weeks or whatever, just laying around the house, this and that, whatever. At this time, when I get shot, I think I'm like 200 pounds. I'm on bed rest for like 6 weeks, so by the time I build up enough strength just to go back to L.A., to J. Glazer, when I get there, I'm probably like 165 pounds, 170 pounds. I get back out there, we get to it, we tour a day and this and that. And I end up, so when I first go out there, I'm meeting with like, I probably met with like 5, 6, 7 different doctors trying to fix my hand. Can't nobody fix my hand. What happened was I ended up meeting this lady, she used oils and all kind of bands and stuff. Went to go in treatment with her, ended up starting getting my feeling back in my hand. All that stuff, you know what I'm saying? So I was going to work out with J. Glazer, going to meet with her. So I'm doing like three a days, you know what I'm saying? So finally, it started coming back, working with the lady, my feelings started coming back in my hand and stuff. So probably after I'm working out with her the whole offseason. So at this time, free agency done went past, offseason workout, everything. So now I'm working out with J. Glazer. I finally get back right. That's when Arizona eventually called me. Ended up going and doing that, and NBA gave me an opportunity. You know what I'm saying? So just from me coming back from that experience to me being able to come back and doing what I did and playing 3 more years, that's why I say I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I'm good when I'm full.
Right.
I started 6 years. The numbers that I put up within them 6 years and even the years after that, it ain't many people done what I did.
Right.
And we talking about all-time bats.
Right. So good and full on the field, that whole journey and that whole experience, like, you know, what did you learn from it? You know what I'm saying? Like, walk me through that. Like, what would you tell that Chris Johnson or anybody, you know what I'm saying? Like, what can we learn from that situation? So we make sure, because, like, you got to think about it, bro. Like, we could have lost you.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? That was painful.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I know that, like, you know, losing your best friend or your friend, you know, it's traumatizing. What can we learn from that? What can a younger generation learn from that?
What I learned from it, basically, like, the whole narrative that everybody get, like, oh, he done got rich, he done got famous, and he done forgot about people in the hood and this and that, whatever. Like, man, I used to come home, I used to be in the hood a lot.
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying? Like, if I go back and do it, I wouldn't be there, because that same thing that happened in that car, it could have been nothing happened in the hood. So, like, even now, like, today, like, I don't go around there.
Right.
Know what I'm saying? I done did all this work for me to be able to make it out the hood. What I'm hanging in the hood for?
You know, I've been through a lot of situations, But one in particular, right, like my wife and I with Mike Sims-Walker, mm-hmm. we go to New York, we're at Club Marquee, and it's just us double dating.
Yeah.
We go out, have an amazing dinner, then we go to the nightclub, and we chilling. We got our own section. We got people next to us. Long story short, they getting rowdy. I made a mistake. I stand up, I'm like, come on, dog. Like, come on, bro. Like, get your ladies in check. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, keep that over here. Well, I came with that energy.
Yeah.
You got Mike Walker with me. Y'all from the Orange County. Yeah. Mike walked in, like, he sees something, he stand up. People behind him see Mike stand up. They throw a glass. Boom. Something else. It's just me and Mike, and there's 20 of them. All hell break loose. Just remember, like, just I'm figuring out how to get out of here. Mike walk figuring out, like, you know Mike about that.
Yeah.
I remember turning around, trying to grab my wife, Mishi, getting out of here. Bro, I turned around, Mishi on the floor. Bro, I don't know how I did. I picked Mishi up, because all I'm thinking about is, like, yo, if I don't get down them steps and out of this building, we dead. Like, right. There's 20 of them. You know how it is.
Yeah.
I picked up Mishi, boy, I'm going down the steps. We get out. I get outside, lights come on, my wife's mouth split open. Start crying. Like, oh my goodness, bro. I had to go straight to the doctor. Like, it was traumatizing. And so what I took from that situation was, like, and I always tell, like, the younger, I always say, like, be a boss. Because a real boss, going in that situation, like, this is my section. I guess if you're going to go out, how do you go out? Security, back door, this and that. Like, there's a certain way you do it. And so, like, I was traumatized after that. You know, going in, hearing loud music in certain situations, like, it just changed my whole, I didn't like big crowds. It changed my whole movement, bro. Like, seeing my wife's mouth split open. And so, like, you know, that's why it's important to have these conversations, man, because we be out there, we outside.
Yeah, be outside.
And it's real out there.
You gotta be careful, yeah.
You gotta be careful. So you do a good job, and I'm curious to get your perspective on this, because, you know, I feel like the reason why your legend is so big is because it's like you're the people's champ. You always outside. You always in the hood.
He's a man of the people.
He's available. He's accessible.
Absolutely. First time I hung out with Chad, a mailman showed up, and it was just, he just
this
knew
Chad.
He just knew Chad.
That's just Chad.
Yeah, it was just Chad.
So, like, how did you navigate through that, and how did you work through that?
It was like a healthy balance, in a sense. I mean, the people I grew up with in the hood, you know, there was structure back then. So the people that handle their business and do what they got to do, so even if there was anything they was going through, then my ass ain't even allowed to come around.
That's true.
They don't even play like that. And then I don't go out.
Right.
I don't club, I don't drink. So I've been fortunate not to be in any situations, because I don't go no goddamn well.
But you're right. It was a different era back then. They tell you, Chad, you can't be over here now.
Back then it was John Doe gang. Yeah, you know, I wanted to be with Bub and Trav and all them, and run me right off the block. This ain't what you do.
Bye.
Get your ass from around here.
Right.
And that's why I say it was structure. It was different.
Yeah. See, these days it's a different era. You see, he's talking OGs. You got these kids, they ain't got nothing to live for. They don't care.
Right.
Back in the day, OGs, you know, they gonna handle business.
Right.
It's just a different era.
Chris, what's life been like after the playing career? Like, what did you get into? What was that transition like when the game was finally gone?
It was hard at first, just trying to, because I was the type of person, like, when I was playing ball, that's the only thing that mattered to me. Like, that's what got my total focus, everything. Like, even coming through college and people saying, like, don't put all your rocks in one bucket. No, everything is, I'm making it to the league. That's what it's going to be. So, like, when I first retired, it go from, like, you got to think your whole life is on a schedule. So then you retire, you waking up like, damn, what I'm going to do today? I ain't got nothing to do. Like, but I think what really helped me was, like, me getting into the whole opening a business, opening a coffee shop. Now I really got something to do. But before I did that, I ended up going back to school and getting my degree or whatever. So, and the crazy thing is, just in that little bit of time, like, I think I had one semester left to graduate, I learned more in that little bit of time
than I did my whole years in college. You know what I'm saying? So I did that, and then I got into the whole coffee business, opened up the shop, and that really helped the transition go out a whole lot smoother.
What made coffee the thing you want to invest your time and money into?
I used to go to like different places, like these like different coffee shops and stuff, like not the traditional Starbucks and stuff, but like different coffee shops where, you know, people just sit down in there, they studying, they doing this, meetings and stuff like this. I'm like, man, this would be something dope. You know what I'm saying? At first I wanted to do a juice bar or whatever. So then I was just looking at different things. I'm like, well, I can do a coffee shop and I can still do juices within the coffee shop. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, it just, and I didn't really want to create nothing that just like, oh, this is a coffee shop. I wanted to create a vibe. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, man, let me put something together. And I ended up meeting with a company out in Nashville or whatever. And it wasn't, it was only one in Brandon, Florida. It was only one of those. So I ended up being a franchise owner. And I'm like, man, I'm gonna lock down the whole Florida. I'm gonna open up all these shops. So I ended up opening up my shop or whatever. Well, a little bit before my shop opened, that's when COVID hit. So I'm like, man, gave me a lot of time to think and stuff. I'm like, man, why would I just open up all these shops around Florida and shoot, I don't even own them. I own the shops, but I don't own the brand. I'm like, man, let me call up the owners. Let me figure something out. So called them up and like, man, I feel like if I'm gonna do all this, man, I might as well be part owner in the whole entire brand. So talked to them, you know, it worked out. End up investing into the whole brand. So I'm part owner of the whole brand, and I still also open up my store.
Time out. That's a beautiful story. You need Ocho.
I need Ocho.
You're a smart and savvy businessman, right? But you're a terrible marketer. You did not say the name one time.
Well, not the, yeah.
You didn't say the name one time.
And plug it.
Just well, love
Chris
coffee.
Cameron.
Just love coffee.
Huh?
Plug me. Just love coffee. Yeah.
You telling me, but you don't want to
help me out. Right, like, bro, come yeah. on. That's a big yeah. deal, yeah. man. Like, it's awesome, bro. We need to see more of that. We need to highlight that. We need to support you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And the only thing you need to do is you need to support Ocho's. Ocho, what's the name of your agency, your marketing agency, your consulting firm?
Ocho, I know where we going.
Ocho, I know where we going. You need to tap into that so he can teach you, like, when you go on platforms.
No, I just made that up.
Yeah, think about it.
Right. So, yeah. Just Love Coffee.
Yeah, Just Love Coffee.
That's dope, bro.
Thank you.
You know, so, like, is there anything, like, from a, as an entrepreneur, what would you say to the next entrepreneur, like, you know, some growing pains that you had to go through to get to where you're at now?
Yeah, just don't think you finna open a business and it just finna flourish or do what it's supposed to do, because that's where I made a mistake. I thought as soon as these doors open, the business either going to pay for itself or it's going to make you money. Still got to put money into it, but not even just that, the hard work. And I feel like I learned a lot of that from football. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
That, and that was my whole mindset. Like, just because I done made it to the league, that don't mean, like, it's over. Like, nah, I want to be a superstar. I want to get multiple deals, multiple contracts. So when you open up your business, you got to have the same mindset. Like, you have to, like, now I'm not the player now. I'm the owner. I'm the GM. I got to, you know, get different team members, put them together, make this successful. You know what I'm saying? Then it still even go deeper than just this store. Now I'm talking about a whole brand. I'm talking about a whole Just Love Coffee where we got 26.
Good job.
We got 26
plugging
locations.
It. You said the name.
Yeah. We got 26 locations. We'll probably, by the end of this year, we'll probably have 40. You know what I'm saying? So just that whole aspect, man, you got to be a leader. You know what I'm saying? You got to continue the hard work, because if you don't continue to put the hard work into it, it's going to fail. And that's with anything you do, no matter what it is. Like, if you get drafted to the league, and you're like, oh, I done made it, I'm good, now I'm just chilling, I'm collecting these checks, this and that, you're going to be out of the league in a year or two. We done been in the league with 1 million people that, like, we see them today, and you never see them again.
Right.
I think that's the most important part, too, when it comes to entrepreneurship, actually doing something that you're passionate about. Because right. when you're passionate about something and you put your work ethic and your discipline into it, it's not even work anymore. It becomes fun. It's what you like to do.
What happens when you lose that passion?
See, to me, sports, that's an interesting journey. It's a great question. I think all athletes deal with that, where it's like, I've done this my entire life, and then it gets to a point in your career where you're like, I know there's more to me, right? That's why I love LeBron and his whole push with Uninterrupted, you know, and, you know, More Than an Athlete, that whole thing. It's like, there's more. So I think that it's disruptive for the athlete, because we grow up and it's like he said, I put all my eggs in one basket. I'm a football player. There ain't no plan B. And I think for a lot of us, we think that way. And so when you make it, and then you get to a point, and then you start hearing these things, like, well, who else am I? There's more to me. It doesn't feel the same, because it's like that passion, that desire, that urge, that dog that make you great. When you lose that, it's like, damn, like, I'm no longer scoring that touchdown, and that it's not there. That's a tough. That's when you're actually getting into mastery of the game.
Usually when the entrepreneur part comes to it, it comes into play. That's really your transition into whatever your first job is, the transition after. So obviously that, to me, that's another decade's worth of work and discipline coming into play in whatever that passion may be. If it was for me, which is something, obviously mine is cigars, I'm only on year four now, I think my next thing is to have a cigar bar, somewhere where I can go and smoke and watch soccer games and just enjoy live jazz. I want that, and that is, the tongue is powerful, and that's what I want, like literally.
Great vibes.
And people don't even got to show up. I'm going to have my live jazz, right. Yeah. And I'm going to have my cigar, whether you come or not. And that's that is something I'm passionate about.
That's why it's going to work, because you're curating what you, with like, this. I know this feels good. Yeah. And there's more people that love cigars and love soccer, love the whole vibe. So, like, that's why it's going to work, because you're not chasing money. You're chasing, like, what you love and your passion.
You don't want to, like, you go to Starbucks. You know what I'm saying? You go in there to, you gonna get your stuff and go out of there. Go Just Love Coffee. You come here, you chilling.
Ooh. That's what.
He looked like again. Ocho, yeah, I know chilling. The way. He took the class quick.
Quick. Yeah, you vibing.
I'm introducing a new segment. It's called Tea Time with Ocho and Brandon Marshall. Working title. Bring the tea. This is lemon ginger. What's your preference?
Reddish blueberry tea.
You fancy. Boy, you did change. You did. All right, tea time. Where's your tea? Grab it like this, tea time.
So we gotta put your pinky out.
Yeah, I got it. I'm here. Okay, tea time with Chris Johnson, Brandon Marshall, Ocho Cinco, Omar Kelly. All right, bro, don't spill your tea, okay? Best running back in Titans history.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Chris Johnson.
Period.
Okay.
It's a young boy out there.
He went for 2K too.
He's a gangster.
Do you think he can hold up? Because 2K took some out of you.
Yeah, I went for 6,000 yard season.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the next one. I'm trying to get you to spill your tea. Was it a smart move or a bad move for Vince Young to charter Southwest?
I don't know about this one.
So, tell us the story and then give us the real reality.
Well, they said that Vince Young bought the whole plane out, Southwest plane out. So I think. Go to Houston or Atlanta or something. That wasn't true. He probably bought like three, four flights on it. They were lying on my boy.
They were lying on my boy.
I can tell you the truth. He used to like team camaraderie or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So like Victory Mondays, you know, we in Tennessee, Atlanta right up the road. So on Victory Mondays, he used to rent the tour bus. And after we get done, whatever we doing, like, when we had the Victory Mondays, we'd get on the bus, we all go down to Atlanta, hang out, come back next day, we'll be back in time for Wednesday. That's the most he done did.
So he's a true leader because he's taking you on the bus to go to.
No, not even just that, but just like.
Camaraderie.
Team camaraderie. Team. Everybody did it different.
I know. I'm sorry. It's tea time. Yeah. I'm getting messy.
Okay. People trying to be messy.
We're going to have Vince on the show. Yeah, I love Vince.
Yeah.
We came out the same year. Yeah. Is it true that he spent $5,000 a week at Cheesecake Factory?
Mm-mm. I don't know where they used to get some of these stories from. But, like, that's just, like, one of the spots we used to all meet up at. Know what I'm saying?
Right.
We used to just meet up there.
So it's true that y'all went to Cheesecake Factory a lot?
Yeah, but you got to think, if it's 20 guys and the bill is $5,000, that don't mean he's just taking a bill.
Did you step up and pay the bill?
No, but everybody paid. We bust down. We bust down.
We bust down.
Yeah, okay, cool. Because you got to think, this ain't just food.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
It's alcohol and everything.
All right. Tea time. You like tea time. You like tea time. He like it. He like tea time. You ready? Go ahead. Start sipping. Go. Have you watched Selling Tampa?
We had to fight to get a meal, yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get a pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know, despite your skills. Facts. Keep it riding for the fam, you gotta light the wiggin' wheels straight up. But in the pass bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah. And my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.